Invite you to take your Bible this morning and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 22. We're going to be reading and focusing this morning on verses 14 through 20. If you have not brought a Bible with you, there are pew Bibles in the pew racks in front of you, and our passage is found on page 882 in those pew Bibles. Appropriately, on this day when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are going to focus on this passage that recounts the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples, at least before his death. It is a supper that is a celebration of the Passover, the Jewish feast of Passover, but it is also at this supper that Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, taking the bread and taking the wine and essentially saying, "This is my body, this is my blood, and you are to continue to celebrate and remember these things. My body, my blood given for you." Jesus, of course, is preparing for the time when he will be gone, and his church is to continue to celebrate this sacrament of the Lord's Supper to be a reminder of Christ's death for us. So a wonderful and significant event in the life of Jesus Christ, but also as we celebrate and as we see the celebration of this Passover feast and institution of the Lord's Supper, we're also reminded that in Luke's Gospel, we're moving toward the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's focus our attention this morning, Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 14. Hear the word of the Lord. "And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" And thus far, God's holy, inspired and inerrant word, may he write its truth upon our hearts this morning. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his great love for sinners, that he came to offer himself as a ransom for sin. And thank you that in Christ and in Christ alone, we have forgiveness and we have new life. And we pray, O God, that as we reflect on these events at the end of Jesus' earthly life, we pray today that you would once again fill our hearts with thanksgiving and with gratitude for what you have done for us. We give you thanks through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Passover and the death of Christ in Scripture are the two great historic redemptive events. The two great events in Scripture in terms of our redemption, or the redemption of God's people, the Passover, the Exodus from Egypt, and the book of Exodus itself, and Christ's death on the cross of Calvary. And here in Luke chapter 22, we see these two events tied together. And as we see these two great events tied together, so we see two celebrations tied together. The Passover meal, the celebration of the Passover that was commanded of God's people in the Old Testament. And here we see Jesus and his disciples as good Jews gathering to celebrate this Passover meal in accordance with the commandment of God. But also we see this celebration of the Lord's Supper itself that Jesus Christ institutes, puts in place here at this Passover celebration. There were two key items in the Passover meal, two things that were prominent: the lamb and the blood. The lamb that was slain on that Passover night when God delivered his people out of slavery in Egypt, and also the blood of that lamb that was put on the doorposts and above the door of the household to deliver God's people from death, and the firstborn from death. The angel of God went and saw the blood and passed over the homes of the Israelites that had the blood on the door, above the door and on the doorposts. The lamb and the blood. So the New Testament focuses our attention on the lamb and the blood. We often see reference in the New Testament to the blood of Christ. The writer to the Hebrews focuses on the blood of Christ. And he even says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. It's kind of interesting because crucifixion was not a particularly bloody form of execution. Of course, there was some blood that came when the nails were driven through the hands and through the feet, but it wasn't particularly a bloody form of execution. But the focus, of course, goes back to the Old Testament and to the blood of the sacrifices, and in particular to that blood of the Passover lamb that caused God literally to pass over his people. God's wrath was turned aside from his own people who had that blood. And when we think about the blood, that's where we go to the Passover and God literally passing over, his wrath being turned aside. That's what we see in the New Testament that focuses on the blood of Christ. But we also see Christ continually called the Lamb. Behold, John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We've got this wonderful scene in the book of Revelation where Revelation refers to a lion who is also a lamb. The same person, the Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ, is also that lamb who was slain. And of course, the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Christ, our lamb, has been sacrificed. Now, as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, as we prepare for future times when we will partake of the Lord's Supper, I want to focus on four things that the Lord's Supper and this Last Supper in particular calls us to look to. There is symbolism here, obviously, the bread and the cup. As there was symbolism in the Passover meal, various elements of the Jewish Passover meal stood for something and pointed to something in the Israelites' experience. And I want to look at what the Lord's Supper in particular calls us to look at and to look to from this passage from Luke chapter 22. First of all, Jesus here in this Last Supper calls us, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, to look back. To look back. That's the first thing. This is a remembrance. In fact, the words on the front of our communion table call us to remember. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus' words. A remembrance. As the Passover meal was a remembrance. There are a number of things that were part of the Passover meal. Let me mention just a few of them. The lamb, of course, who was killed and who was eaten and whose blood was spread. The unleavened bread. Why were the Israelites to eat unleavened bread? Because, of course, they left quickly. They didn't have time for their bread to rise, so they made bread without leaven. And so part of the Passover celebration is the eating of unleavened bread. They had bitter herbs as part of their Passover meal. It was a reminder to them of the bitterness of life in slavery. And here, interestingly, God tells his people in the Old Testament that when you eat the Passover meal, you are to recline. That is, you are to essentially lie on the floor or most likely on couches with a table, and you lean on your left arm with your feet back away from the table, and you use your right hand to go in and get the food and eat it. It's not, by the way, the picture that we have in that famous painting of the Last Supper where everyone is sitting properly around a table. They're reclining. Now, the reclining, of course, was a symbol of freedom. And it was in contrast to the Israelites who were called to eat that meal that Passover night with their belt on, with their shoes on, holding their staff, and to eat quickly because God was going to send them out soon. Here now, they eat as those who have been set free by the grace of God. Remember, the Passover meal says. Remember this great act of God in setting you free. And so when we come to the Lord's Supper, brothers and sisters, we remember the great act of God that has set us free. The bread is, Jesus says, my body. This is my body, which is given for you. Verse 19 says, do this in remembrance of me. Now, was Jesus saying here that the bread literally is or literally becomes his body? When Jesus is saying these words and holding the bread, he's sitting right in front of his apostles. They're not going to look at that and think, oh, that bread really is Jesus, because he's sitting right there. That's not the idea. It's that this bread represents Jesus Christ. It symbolizes his body, which was broken for us. By the way, Deuteronomy 16:3 refers to the bread of the Passover meal as the bread of affliction. It was the bread that reminded God's people of their affliction. Well, how appropriate is that for Jesus Christ? The bread of affliction, Christ's affliction, given, broken for us. The wine, of course, points to the blood of Christ that has turned aside the wrath of God. Jesus says here in verse 20, the cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. And the language there of for you has more the sense of in your place as a substitute for you. I'm giving this blood in your place, even as the Passover lamb was slaughtered and the blood spread in place of the firstborn of the Israelites on that night at the Passover. This is for you. Remember, Jesus says. We need this sacrament just like the Israelites needed the Passover festival because we so easily forget. We are prone to forget, and some of us perhaps more than others. My memory is slipping more and more these days. We easily forget when you're having that bad day and your heart is filled with discontent. And you are grumbling your way through life. Isn't that in one sense at its root a failure to remember? A failure to remember all that God has done for you and the blessings that he has given to you. We need these ways to remember in our lives. So Jesus says, first of all, look back. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, look back. But secondly, we're called to look around. to look around. Passover itself was an important communal meal. It was a time for families to gather, for the community to be together in celebration. And verse 17 tells us that Jesus took a cup and he tells his disciples, take this and divide it among yourselves. Now, it's interesting that Luke refers here to two different cups. He refers to a cup in verse 17. Then when we come to verse 20, after they had eaten, he refers to another cup that Jesus takes. At the Passover meal, there are actually four cups. Four cups of wine were drunk. And we don't know exactly for sure which ones these are. For a variety of reasons, it's very likely that what we've got here is the first cup and then the third cup. And I'm not going to go into that this morning. But Luke refers to two, but in particular with this first cup or the earlier cup in verse 17, he says, take this and divide it among yourselves. Now, in the Passover meal in Judaism, to have one common cup was actually very unusual at the Passover. Everyone would have their own little cup of wine. But what does it mean here to have this one common cup? It's emphasizing the togetherness of this meal, the communal nature of this meal. The Lord's Supper highlights for us the communion of the saints. And wherever you are on your sacramental theology, your theology of the sacraments, the Lord's Supper, there are a variety of ways that the celebration of the Lord's Supper gets across this, but we do it by simply saying, hold the bread and hold the cup until everyone has received it, and then we all eat together. That's a symbolic way of saying we are in fellowship and communion with one another. And so we look around at one another when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. More important that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, as we look around, we need to remember that we have communion with Christ. Communion with Christ himself. Look at verse 15 and look at what Jesus says to his disciples. He says, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I have earnestly desired. Literally, the Greek uses repetition here. I have desired with desire. It is my great desire to celebrate this Passover meal with you. And what a great truth and what a great teaching of God's word it is to see again and again that God longs to be in fellowship and communion with his people. What a glorious truth. God longs to be in fellowship and communion with you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I use that as the call to worship this morning. Or God's invitation to come and to feast on him, to drink from the river of his delights, to come to him in fellowship and communion. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we need to be reminded that Christ is spiritually present with us. And as Christ is spiritually present in this, we in a sense, as the old language goes, feed on him by faith. And so when you eat, when you drink this morning, feed on Christ. Seek him in fellowship and communion. And this is an amazing thing that Jesus says here in verse 15, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. See, Jesus knows what's coming. He knows that his death is coming, and he knows leading to that death, a number of things are going to happen. He's going to be betrayed by one of the members of his inner circle. He's going to be denied by one key member of his closest circle, Peter. He's going to be deserted by all of his disciples. And he's going to be left alone. He knows that they can't even stay awake and pray with him and for him. They're going to fall asleep and then they're all going to leave him. And yet he longs to have fellowship with them. See, Jesus knows that you are perhaps going to deny him. He knows that you today are going to sin against him. But Jesus comes in this service and in this supper this morning and says, I eagerly desire to eat with you. I eagerly desire to have fellowship with you. Do you see how much Jesus loves you? Before I suffer, before you desert me, before you deny me, I want fellowship with you. And I want it again afterwards. I know what you're going to do. Do you see the love of Jesus for you this morning? See that, know that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Christ loves you more than you can imagine. Look back. Look around. Look forward. Look forward. Verses 16 and 18 tell us that Jesus says, I won't eat this meal again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Verse 18, I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. He's looking forward to what is still to come. The kingdom coming in all of its fullness, in all of its power, in all of its glory. See, on the one hand, we look back to the redemption that has already been accomplished for us. We have been set free from sin. Jesus Christ has died. And if you are united with Christ, God no longer looks on your sin as something that separates you from Him. And we look back at that because it's a glorious truth and a glorious event. But we also look forward to full redemption that is still to come. In this life, we continue to suffer the pains and struggles of life in a fallen world. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that all creation groans, waiting for the revelation of the children of God. And we ourselves groan, who have the Spirit, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, he says, groan as we long for the redemption that is coming. Longing to be released from the difficulties and sins and pains and struggles and sorrows and murders and terrorists and all the rest of this present life. We long for that. And Jesus says, look to that. Because it's coming. How great will that day be? And there's no more sin, no more pain, no more crying, no more death. How great will that day be when we go to sit down at a great supper that's still to come? The book of Revelation calls it the marriage feast of what? The Lamb. What a glorious feast that will be. Paul says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do what? You proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again. So as we celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning, brothers and sisters, look forward to the great consummation, final redemption, and great meal that is still to come. And fourth and finally, we not only look back and we not only look around and we not only look forward, but fourth, look up. Look up. Twice we read of Jesus giving thanks as he takes the bread and as he takes the cup. The Greek word here for giving thanks in both of these places is the word eucharisteo. The word Eucharist comes from this, which is how many people refer to the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. Why? It is a time to give thanks. And so we look up. We look up and we give thanks to God for what He has done. It may cause us to shed tears as we reflect on the greatness of Christ and as we reflect on our own sin and our own unworthiness. But those tears should be tears of joy because of what God has done in Jesus Christ. Look up and give thanks. And look up and remember that Jesus says to us, "This is my body. This is my blood." Look up and remember that your salvation is all of God. It is none of you. Not in my striving, not in my blood, not in my sweat, not in my tears. It is all God's doing. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Brothers and sisters, look up. It is all of God. And so I invite you this morning, you saints of God, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Let's pray. Our God, what a great God you are. These great truths that Jesus Christ died for sinners. Those who would desert him, those who would deny him, those who sin against him daily. He died for them and still longs to have fellowship with them, with us. These great truths, O God, fill us with love. They fill us with a new song in our hearts. They fill us with wonder. So may we come to you today with joy and with wonder for what you have done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.